Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for November 14th, 2008. It's Technology Week here at Science Update, and we are going to tell you why headphones and pacemakers don't mix, and how researchers are putting idle cars to work to save energy. But first, Suzanne found out that nanotechnology is more than skin deep.
Bob, do you remember the days when you had to slather a thick white layer of zinc oxide on your skin to prevent sunburn?
I think that we just burned, but I remember other people on the beach putting that stuff on, that opaque, like, white, thick cream. Whatever happened to that stuff?
Well, it's still here, but it's a heck of a lot smaller. The reason sunscreens are basically invisible now is because scientists have shrunk the oxide particles down to the nanometer scale.
Nanometer. Okay, so how small is that?
Well, it's thousands of times smaller than the width of a human hair. Biomedical researcher Lisa DeLuise of the University of Rochester School of Medicine says that nearly 600 consumer products containing nanoparticles are on the market. And many of these are cosmetics, like powders and creams.
It is a natural question to ask whether or not these small particles could penetrate through skin.
She and her colleagues did an experiment where they put a liquid containing nanoparticles onto healthy skin and also onto skin that had been damaged by the sun. Turns out, the nanoparticles penetrated much more deeply into the sunburned skin.
The key finding of our research is that barrier-compromised skin is more susceptible to penetration by nanoparticles.
She and her colleagues are now trying to determine if they could pose a health risk.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, here's another public health story. More and more people are listening to portable MP3 players these days, and it turns out that the headphones they wear could affect some implantable medical devices. Dr. William Maisel is the director of the Medical Device Safety Institute at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. He and his colleagues placed small headphones on the chests of patients with implanted defibrillators and pacemakers, and then they measured their heart rhythms.
We placed the headphones directly on their chest over the device to look for an interaction, and it was done in a monitored setting, so it was very safe. And of the 60 patients that we tested, 23%, 14 out of the 60, had an interaction that we could demonstrate and verify when we placed the headphones on top of their device. Patients with implantable defibrillators were more likely to have an interaction than patients with pacemakers. And in virtually every case, the interaction was what we call a magnet response. Pacemakers are designed to treat slow heart rhythms, and they're supposed to only intervene when the heart rate gets slow. When you place a magnet on a pacemaker, the pacemaker starts sending signals to the heart, telling the heart to beat without regard to the patient's underlying heart rhythm. So this can cause palpitations, heart irregularity. In rare cases, it can trigger abnormal heart rhythm, although we didn't observe any of those. For implantable defibrillator patients, when we placed a headphone on the defibrillator, it deactivated the defibrillator. The defibrillator stops looking for abnormal heart rhythms.
He says the best way to prevent this is to keep headphones at least 1.2 inches away from the chest at all times.
And in other tech news, one of the problems with solar and wind power is figuring out how to store the power at night, or when there's no wind. Researchers at the University of Michigan think that the millions of plug-in electric cars that will soon be rolling off assembly lines could be one answer. At any given time, most of those cars will be parked and plugged into the electrical grid. The scientists are looking into using those cars as holding tanks for electricity, trickling power back into the grid when they're idle.
Also, scientists at Lawrence Berkeley Lab have demonstrated how the nucleus of an atom can be used to store computer information. It's a big step forward in the new science of quantum computing, in which engineers replace silicon microchips with far tinier atoms. Now, we'll switch to a promising low-tech solution to a dangerous problem.
Food allergies in children can be deadly. Until now, most parents have simply eliminated dangerous foods from their children's diets. That's an imperfect solution, according to Dr. Robert Wood, a pediatric allergist at Johns Hopkins Children's Center. He says restricting a child's diet is not only difficult, but can also lead to nutritional deficiencies. Taking a different approach, Wood and his colleagues at Duke University exposed children with milk allergies to minute amounts of milk, gradually increasing the dose over the course of 6 months.
When when they did their baseline food challenge, all except one reacted at the very lowest dose of milk protein, about 1/4 of 1 teaspoon. And when we brought them back in then 6 or so months later after going through this treatment, the average dose that they reacted at was over 5 ounces. So they literally become thousands of times more tolerant to milk over the period of the study. There were some who could tolerate the entire 8 ounces of milk we used at that challenge, others who had reactions at lower doses, but all of the reactions were mild, and all of them occurred at much larger doses than had caused the reaction at the beginning of treatment.
With careful dosing, he says it may be possible to turn off food allergies, but he cautions that the treatment won't be available to the general public for several years.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll tell you why expensive wine tastes better and how we feel each other's pain. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a fascinating science story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. And call us with your science questions at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.